أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 187. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. أهل لكم ليلة الصيام، أهل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم، هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن. It's a long ayah. I just read the translation. You are permitted on the night of the fast to go into your wives. They are a garment for you, and you are a garment for them. Allah knew that you used to betray yourselves, so He pardoned you and excused you. So now consort with them and seek what Allah has ordained for you, and eat and drink until the white streak becomes manifest to you from the dark streak at the crack of dawn. Then complete the fast until nightfall, and do not consort with them while you dwell in confinement in the mosques. These are Allah's bounds, so do not approach them. Thus does Allah clarify His signs for mankind, so that they may be God-wary. These are some detailed rulings about fasting. We had in previous verses about Shahr Ramadan and the ordainment of fast in that month. Now there is, here we have some detailed rulings about how to fast. In effect, it has explained clearly the limits and the definition of the fast which Muslims have to perform. Now let's go sentence by sentence about the ayah. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. You are permitted on the night of the fast to go into your wives. Now the first thing is that الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. Rafath is used as a figure of a speech for sexual relation. And literally it means intimate words mentioned explicitly. And because usually in sexual relations such words are mentioned, it has been taken as a figure of a speech. Allah never uses direct and explicit words for modesty, so that we do not actually get used to become very immodest in our... As we have nowadays in schools, we teach sex education and such things to children, so that they completely lose this modesty, which is very much used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran even. There is one hadith which says Allah is modest, and Allah never uses direct words for sexual matters. And Rafath is one of them. In Hajj, it's used as well. الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج. رفث here is again a figure of a speech for sexual relations. This we have one interesting saying from Abdullah ibn Abbas rahmatullah alayhi, who said إن الله سبحانه حي يكنى بما شاء. Allah is modest. He always uses metaphors in whichever way he wants for sexual relations, like al-rafath, wal-libas, wal-mubashara, wal-ifza. Sometimes it says hunna libasun lakum. Again, it's that sort of you have close relation with them. Or basharu hunna means you can touch each other. All these words, metaphors are used so that not explicitly the word is mentioned. Now, and in the night of the fast, it is permitted for you to have sexual relation with your wives. I mentioned why this is mentioned here later, inshallah, because previously it was not allowed. Then this has actually withdrawn the ruling about forbidding having sexual relations on the night of fast. I talk about the cause of revelation later on. And Because it says أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم, it is permitted for you on the night of fast, means on the night of the day which you want to fast in Ramadan. A very interesting ruling has been inferred from this, and that is, we know that on the first night of every month, it is makruh to have this relation, on the first night of every month. So, for example, if tomorrow is Rajab, on the night of that day, it is makruh to have relation with one's spouse. But because of this verse, A'imma have said that not only it's not makruh, because Allah has actually made it permissible for the whole fast nights. So not only it is not makruh, it is mustahab. And this istihbab has been actually inferred from this verse, that أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ السِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. Now, the reason is given here. هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. This is a very beautiful expression, one of those exceedingly beautiful expressions of the Quran about relationship between the spouses. They are garments for you and you are garments for them. It means you are so close to each other that it is impossible for you to, for example, avoid from such things for a long time. And also there are many other beautiful concepts drawn, taken from this expression. For example, Ibn Abbas says that Ibn Abbas and his students, you know, Ibn Abbas had a school of exegesis, and all Tabi'un who were students of Ibn Abbas, like Qatada, Mujahid, these were mainly having the same idea about verses, same interpretation, say that Hunna libasun lakum means they are your comfort, and you are their comfort. Antum libasun lahun. And they use the verse in the Quran which says, وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. We have made the night as a libas, as a garment, which gives you comfort. It's for sakan, for and also the other verse says that جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَكَنًا. He made the night a time of comfort for you. Now, what does the garment do? First of all, the garment protects a person from heat and cold. A garment covers the body, especially the parts that we don't want to be revealed. The garment is an adornment for us. We use it and it makes us more attractive. And for this relation, as man and woman are garment for each other, the spouses, yes, first of all, they protect each other from deviation. They are means of comfort for each other. And they cover each other's uyub, as we call it, the shortcomings. And they are sort of consolation for each other. They are giving each other comfort, beauty, and all these are actually included in this expression, "Hunna libasun lakum wa antum libasun lahun." Alima Allahu annakum kuntum takhranun anfusakum, fataba alaykum wa afa ankum. Allah knew that you used to betray yourselves, so he pardoned you and excused you. As I said, the ruling initially was that anyone who, first of all, sexual relation was not permitted on the night of fast, as it was not permitted on the day of fast. And also, after sleeping on the night of fast, for example, after Maghrib, if you eat something, you eat. Otherwise, if you sleep, you could not eat afterwards when you wake up. And this ruling was very harsh. Very harsh, first of all. Sometimes people were very, very tired when they went home. after Maghrib, after the Maghrib, they fell asleep. And afterwards, they couldn't eat anything. And also, well, it was very difficult, especially for young spouses, to not have relation with each other on the night of fast. And therefore, Allah says, Allah knows, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ, knew that you used to betray yourselves. So he pardoned you and excused you. There are a couple of questions here and a couple of very nice hints. First of all, why Allah has ordained such a thing in the first place, knowing that it is going to be very difficult for people to abide by? And then says, now Allah knows that you cannot abide by it, so he has pardoned you. There is a very, very important point here. It's like Salatul Layl, that Allah initially said that you, Ya أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلْ قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا نِصْفَهُ أَوْ انْقُصْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا. And the companions also were doing this with the Prophet. And gradually, when they continued this, it became very hard. And after that, Allah withdrew the commandment by giving this verse in Medina. The Surah Muzammil was revealed in Mecca. But later on, Allah withdrew the ruling by saying that this long verse at the end of Surah Muzammil, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ لَن تُحْسُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah knows that you cannot. The verse is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَيِ اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَلَّنْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah knows that you try. Of course, for Prophet it was very easy, but some of the companions were trying very hard to wake up for two-thirds of the night, half of the night, and do Salatul Layl, worship, recite the Quran. Then Allah says, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَلَّنْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Allah knows that you cannot bear this. So he pardoned you. فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَنْ الْقُرْآنِ. No, now recite whatever is possible for you at night. Of course, this is the meaning of Salatul Layl. He means Salatul Layl. فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونَ مِنْكُمْ مَرْضَى. Allah knows some of you are ill, some of you travel for business, some of you go for battlefield, and you cannot do it. So فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ. Recite whatever is possible for you. The reason it is given initially and then withdrawn to tell us about the importance of these acts, importance of refraining from sexual relation in Ramadan, for example, completely paying our attention to focusing on spirituality, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sense of Salatul Layl, it's so important that you invest time on spirituality. I usually say, if you want to keep physically fit, you have to do physical exercise, isn't it? And that's what most of the people try to do. And if they don't do, they become very embarrassed and they feel that they are not doing what is necessary for them. If we want to become spiritually fit, we need to invest time, we need exercise. And these are the spiritual exercises, Salatul Layl and other things. Sometimes people say that we do all our wajibat, we have good intention, good niyyah, but why we don't feel that we get close to Allah? Because the wajibat is just like the food that you eat to keep you alive. But to become fit, you need to do more than that. You need physical, spiritual exercise. And this Salatul Layl and such things are like that. However, when Allah withdraws it, it says that I know that majority of people are not able. And therefore, I withdraw this. But bear in mind, it is important that you keep this spiritual closeness to me by doing more than what ordinary people can do. Now, when Allah withdraws this, It doesn't mean that, for example, then it is makruh to do it because Allah has said initially and then withdrew. No, it's not like that. It means that you have to abide by this rukhsa, by this permission. And that's why the Imam said that on the night, first night of Ramadan is mustahab to have, to go to your spouse, because you have to take the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Salatul Layl as well, we know that some of the mystics used to stay awake all night or most parts of the night. Now, we know that we don't need to do it. It is not permissible for us to actually reject the permissions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know, for example, in Ramadan, in other nights, we take what Allah says, فَقْرَعُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ, whatever is possible for you, do it. Because I want you to come close to me and you have to invest time. Now, therefore, a very beautiful thing which is mentioned here, عَلِمَ اللَّهُ أَنَّكُمْ كُنْتُمْ تَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Allah knows that you were betraying yourself by going to your spouses on the night of Ramadan. The word تختانون أنفسكم, betraying yourself, is very important, saying that I have said this because of you, not because of myself. I don't want to put you in difficulty, in hardship. I want you to take a spiritual benefit, but you are betraying yourself. And it is not possible for you. Then, since that is the case, فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ. تَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ means now Allah has permitted you, has taken this very difficult ordainment, وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ, and forgave the effects which would follow by not abiding by this law. It means that after this, Allah, after making his point, you know, Allah, after making his point that it was important, but now that you cannot do it, I will take away even the effects of every Muslim that they do that now and in future. فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَعَفَى عَنْكُمْ فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ. So now consult with them. It means from now on, from this Ramadan onward, you can go to them. وَابْتَقُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, and seek what Allah has ordained for you. Now about with this, وَابْتَقُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, the exegetes have different views. One group of exegetes say that, and seek good children by going to your spouses. Seek good children that Allah has written for you in your destiny, that you have these children. And therefore they say, on the night of Ramadan, it is not allowed to have this relation except by the intention of having good children. Well, this is not somehow complying with the verse, and it is so puritanical if we think like that. But وَابْتَقُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ means, as the other group of exegetes says, seek whatever Allah has written for you in terms of this permission. Allah has permitted you, so you are allowed to do it. Seek that permission, go after that permission, take it from Allah. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمْ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَاجْرِ, and eat and drink until the white cord or streak becomes manifest to you from the dark streak. It means that when the Fajr al-Sadiq comes, there is a sort of, as if there is a white cord spreading in the horizon, and it becomes very clear. Of course, not here. Usually in places where there are no sort of city light and such things, it becomes very clear, and you eat and drink until that distinguishing moment comes, when you can distinguish exactly the white streak from the dark streak. At the crack of dawn, then complete the fast until nightfall. There's a story here which is interesting in the sense that it tells us how sometimes the companions of the Prophet misunderstood the meaning of the verses. And this story is from Adi ibn Hatam. Of course, Adi ibn Hatam was the son of Hatam al-Tai, the generous man, who converted very late in the years of migration to the Prophet, converted to Islam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you have, the Quran says, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. The white cord and the black cord become distinguishable from each other. And I have put a white cord and a black cord beside each other, and I waited until I could distinguish them from each other, and they did not become distinguished. I couldn't distinguish them until the sun rose, actually. And this is how he understood, that you put a white cord and a black cord beside each other, and when you can distinguish between them and the colors become clear, then that is the time of Fajr. فَضَحَكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى رُؤْيَتْ نَوَاجِذُهُ. The Prophet laughed to the extent that his back teeth became manifest. ثُمَّ قَالَ يَا ابْنَ هَاتَمْ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ بَيَاضُ النَّهَارُ وَسَوَادُ الْلَيْلِ. It means that brightness and darkness in the horizon, not black and white cord. So, as I say, it's very interesting because we see sometimes even the companions of the Prophet could not understand very clearly the meaning of these verses. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Then finish the fast until night. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ. Now, I talk about this later. Let's come to the سَبَبُ النُّزُولِ of these ayat, or شَأْنُ النُّزُولِ of this ayah. Ali ibn Ibrahim al-Qummi reports from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam with his chain of transmission. He says that كَانَ الْأَكْلُ مُحَرَّمًا فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ بِاللَّيْلِ بَعْدَ النَّوْمِ. In the month of Ramadan, if you ate something before you sleep at night, that was your iftar, that was good. But if you came home and you were tired and you slept and then woke up, you couldn't eat anything anymore. So sleeping meant that the breaking of the fast is finished. In a sense, after sleep, you couldn't eat anything. The second thing was وَكَانَ النِّكَاهُ حَرَامًا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. And relations between the spouses in the month of Ramadan was haram at night and at day, both of them. وَكَانَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ يُقَالُ لَهُ مُطْعِمُ بْنِ جُبَيْرِ أَخُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ جُبَيْرِ. And there was a man from Ashab, the companions of the Prophet, whose name was Mut'im ibn Jubayr, and he was the brother of Abdullah ibn Jubayr. And the hadith explains this. Abdullah ibn Jubayr was the person who was put in charge of the people who were protecting that hillside in the Battle of Uhud. And he was on over 50 men, and all of them defected and went to the battlefield to take booties. And he remained there with 12 people, and they were all martyred by Khalid ibn Walid and his people. So he says that this Mut'im ibn Jubayr was brother of that person. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا ضَعِيفًا. And this, he was a very old man and very weak man. وَكَانَ صَائِمًا. One day he was Sa'im in Shahr Ramadan when the Battle of Ahzab was going to take place, and they were digging the ditch, Khandaq. فَأَبْتَأَتْ عَلَيْهِ أَهْلُهُ بِالطَّعَامِ. He went home and the food was not ready after the whole day digging the ditch, and then went home for iftar. Iftar was not ready, and the wife told him that, do not sleep, I make it ready now. While she was making the iftar ready, he fell asleep. فلما انتبه قال لأهله قد حرموا علي الأكل. He woke up, the food was ready, but he said, I cannot eat. So he didn't eat anything. Tomorrow morning he went to the ditch again and started to work digging the ditch. فَأُغْمِيَ عَلَيْهِ He fell unconscious, lost his consciousness. فَرَآهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ فَرَقَّ لَهِ The Prophet saw him and actually felt so much pity for him. And the verse was revealed because of that. And also, وَكَانَ قَوْبٌ مِنَ الشَّبَابِ يَنْكَحُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ سِرًّا فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ And a group of young couples, they were, of course, could not stop themselves having going to their wives in the month of Ramadan at night. فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ Allah revealed this verse, فَأَحَلَّ النِّكَاحَ بِاللَّيْلِ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ وَالْأَكْلِ بَعْدَ النَّوْمِ إِلَىٰ طُلُوءِ الْفَجْرِ So he made, he permitted relation and he permitted eating until the Fajr time. That's what he says, فَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضِ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ You can eat until that time, regardless whether you sleep or you do not sleep. This is what we have in our narrations about the Sha'nun Nuzul. In Sunni narrations, this Mut'im ibn Jubair is not mentioned. Another person is mentioned whose name is very much confused in the sense that several versions of his name are given, Qays ibn Surma or Abu Surma or Abu Qays ibn Surma or Surmat ibn Iyas. He says that قَالُوا جَاءَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ He came to the Prophet. It was not on the occasion of Khandaq. He said that I was working on my palm trees all day and then when I went to home for iftar, I felt asleep before the food was ready. And I couldn't eat anything. Now I'm fasting. It's very difficult for me. وَقَدْ جَهَدَنِ الصَّوْمِ And then Umar ibn al-Khattab said, Ya Rasulallah, I want to confess something to you as well. I actually go to my wife at night. So after I pray my Isha. And then other men stood up and said the same thing. And then the verse was revealed. Anyhow, they are very similar to each other. That's, the ruling was very tough. The ruling of fast was very tough, and Allah actually reduced it to what we are doing now. We are lucky, alhamdulillah, that some people went through those hard things, and it has been, as Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرِ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرِ Now, of course, you can have that relation at night, provided you are not mu'takif in masajid. وَلَا تُبَاشِرُوهُنَّ وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ Because i'tikaf has some rulings that I want to mention. Inshallah, we'll leave it for next week. وَسَلَّ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ
Thank you, Sheikh, very much. So you have 15, 20 minutes to further the discussion and clarify any things. Riyaz?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much for the lecture. Sheikh, in a general sense, although it's not true of Islam, but generally when you look across faiths, there are issues around sexual relationships and connotations of purity. So for example, whether it's an Abrahamic faith or even Hinduism, for example, when a woman is in her menses, she cannot enter the temple or she cannot enter the mosque, or all of these things. And then, of course, there's the whole concept that we have around janaba and it being unclean and you have to purify yourself before you can go about your normal duties as well as your prayer. So this then leads to a concept of abstinence equals purity, if you get my meaning. And so then that leads to ideas around monasticism and keeping away from all these things that are, in inverted commas, impure or unclean. Whereas we know this is not actually necessarily the concept in Islam. But having said that, we still have some rulings around, and I'm sure tomorrow, next week you'll mention more when we talk about Iqtikaf. But I just wanted to get a general sense of how we can make sense of all of this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this purity, impurity, and also spiritual experience is something that you have to completely isolate yourself from pleasures and such things. It's true, but as you said, in Islam, we always have to seek the balance. The balance is very important. There is time for our pleasures, of course, the permissible pleasures, and there is time for spirituality. There's time for entertainment, because the soul, human self, needs that balance. We cannot just focus on spirituality without looking after our bodily needs. We cannot just indulge in bodily desires without looking after our spirituality. So this balance is very important. And if balance goes away, then we end up either in complete indulgence or in types of spirituality which are not desirable. It gives us some power, gives us some sort of spiritual elation, which is not closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just having some spiritual connections without being closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the balance is very important, I think. We cannot reject this concept of impurity, the concept of having a spiritual sort of isolation from bodily pleasures, but we cannot all the time do it. So the balance is important.
Thank you. Any sisters? No, brothers?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you so much. It's difficult to discuss some subjects, and this is one of them. I'd like to bring the conversation towards what brother here said about devotion, and especially during the months of Ramadan. So where I came from, the months of Ramadan, the devotion, especially on the big nights, was a case of hopping from one mosque to another. And there was a lot of sinazani and khandak and all that. So at that age, it felt like this is devotion. Okay, I might have been wrong, but at that age, it's not like you're going to go on the musalla for the night. It's not going to happen, yeah? The most we did was do the qaza namaz. So we used to read 100 rakats a night on the big nights. Now, from a youth's point of view, it must be difficult for them to relate to prayer all night. So where does this come from, the khandak and all, you know, the other things that we do? So,
if you spend the khandak,
yes, this is the fire pit. I think they must do it in Iran as well, where you walk on coals, fire. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, we used to have it in Pakistan. Yes, it was the epitome of faith. If you were
I thought
able,
they do it in Ashura or something.
That's
like
right.
That.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course.
In Ramadan.
Yes, they did on the 19th and the 21st for
okay.
the like Zermatt. Mm-hmm. So that was to prove yourself that you're man enough, that you're spiritual enough to walk on coals for whatever happened to your imam.
I don't want to be disrespectful.
Of course, of course.
This is proving something else.
Yes. So you see where I'm coming from. It's there are people try to look for alternatives to salat. Yeah. Now, in the same way, so if I said to you one more thing that I heard at that time, which was only, it came to me last week because of a discussion, that Bibi Fatima used to stand on one leg and pray all night. Right? Now, that's another thing that doesn't sound like devotion, but because people want to exaggerate and bring in alternatives to actual prayer. Was it like that when you were growing up, or maybe in the time of the Rasul? They were trying to prove something else.
No, actually, these are just customs which has developed in different areas. For example, that khandak that you say, we never have it in Iran. Had it in Iran, and never have it. We don't have it now. and even standing on one foot. Yes, we have this hadith that Prophet prayed so long that the feet became sore, and so he lifted one foot to give it some rest, and then put it down and lifted another foot to give it some rest. It's very different from what some mystics, these are mystical practices actually. These are self-mortification practices that some mystics, for example, stand on one leg for 2-3 days to get spiritual strength, things like that. Now, there is one thing which is mentioned by Ayatollah Mirza Jawad Maliki, who was a very renowned scholar of Irfan, and many of the Urafa of our time, like Imam Khomeini and others, were his students. He has a book called Al-Muraqibat, to be watchful over one's a'mal, fi a'mal as-sana. With regards to nights of Qadr, those big nights of Ramadan, he says that do whatever you feel connects with your heart. If you pray and you feel that this is good, you are enjoying it spiritually, do the prayer. If you do not enjoy the prayer and you want to recite the Quran, recite the Quran. If not, if you want to say zikr, say zikr. If you just want to reflect, reflect. But don't lose on the importance of these nights, because it's very important that you spiritually get connected and take the benefits of these nights, and therefore do not waste time in doing something which doesn't give you that spiritual connection. And that is something that we have to do. If, for example, we feel going to the mosque and sitting and doing the a'mal with other people is not giving us that connection, it's better we stay at home and do our salat, for example, or recite the Quran, or whatever. But usually, because people, when they stay at home, they fall asleep, isn't it? They don't do anything, so it's good for them to go to the mosque. And of course, to be in the mosque in itself is something important on those nights. It is said that on one Qadr night, Imam Ja'far al-Sadr was very ill, and he could not even pray. He was so ill. So he asked his people to take him to the mosque and just put his bed there, and he stay in bed in the mosque to be there. So there is some importance in that, but as you say, we shouldn't just follow what other people do. What is important is we connect spiritually in one way or another.
Thank you. Any sisters?
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Isn't it a general concept of all religion that the more physical pain you have, the more closer you become to God? Like if you take Buddhism, Jainism, all the Gautam Buddha and Mahavir, they all got salvation through literally physical pain, being totally isolated. Christianity had some fact as well. So is it, there's some fact in it that the more physical, pain you have within yourself, the more closer you come to
the
Allah?
The more physical pain you have, the more powerful your soul will become. And some feats and actions you can do that other people cannot do. Like, for example, I have seen by my own eyes, they devour razors, for example, and then they bring it back. Nothing happens to them. They pierce themselves with daggers and such things. Yes, these powers come, but not these don't mean that you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why these practices are not allowed in Islam. We have developed a sort of a trend in the Sunni Islam, which is mysticism, Sufism, which we don't have in Shia Islam, of course. And some of these Sufis, not all of them, they do practice such things, and they do get these powers. Like, for example, some of the Hindu mystics, they get very strong powers, and they can do very amazing things, many amazing things. But these are not desirable. This is not something which brings us closer to Allah.
Thank you. Safraz?
Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Shaykh, you were explaining when you were talking about Salatul Layl that Allah put some injunctions on people, and then because they couldn't handle it, He softened them.
Yeah.
And He made what was wajib mustahab. But in terms of the rulings of Ramadan, He hasn't softened it, He's reversed it. What was haram for people now became not only acceptable but mustahab. So that's a very different path. Can you explain that, please?
No, it's not different. Even in Salatul Layl, for example, they thought that they have to stay awake for very long times. But now it has been reduced in a sense. And it is good that we sleep some part of the time and then we wake up, not keeping awake all night. You are right. In this sense, since the ruling is, in sense of Salatul Layl, the ruling is not completely withdrawn. But it says, فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَرَ, do it as much as you can. Therefore, it's not mustahab to leave Salatul Layl altogether. But here, Allah says, فَالْآنْ بَاشِرُوهُنَّ, so go to your wives. And because this permissibility has come, it is not polite to reject it, isn't it?
Yeah. So the point is, why in the first place was it haram? Because now it is opposite, now it's mustahab. So this is the point. It's not like Salatul Layl where it was wajib and then became mustahab.
It's mustahab, it's not mustahab in actually all nights of Ramadan. Only the first night to show to Allah in that sense that, yes, we are taking your permission. We are taking your rukhsah. That's all. Not that it's mustahab in the sense that all nights of Ramadan is mustahab, you have that relation. Just to show that we have taken your rukhsah. That's all.
Thank you. Any sisters? Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. A couple of things. You may have covered one of them last week. When you say Salatul Layl, do we have to recite the prescriptive Salatul Layl that we all follow? Or you can recite anything that you feel connected? What is the definition of Salatul Layl? Is that prescriptive?
No, we have two things here. One term is tahajjud. The other term is Salatul Layl. Tahajjud means you wake up and you do some worship. Like, for example, you want to do reflection, you want to recite the Quran or whatever. This is tahajjud. But the best type of tahajjud is that you do Salatul Layl in that period. So when you say Salatul Layl is that 11 rak'ah, or at least the 3 rak'ahs that you do, and especially it is the importance of it is that you recite some parts of the Quran in your salat. That's the important part of it. But if you don't want to do Salatul Layl, just tahajjud, wake up and do some zikr or something, that is fine as well. But it's not called Salatul Layl, it's tahajjud now. Is that clear?
Okay. The importance is on the prescriptive Salatul Layl.
The importance is on tahajjud.
Tahajjud.
Okay. But Salatul Layl is the best type of tahajjud.
Okay. Yeah. Second question, if I may. I've heard youngsters, they've read a lot of books on marriage, etc., and they say, this is not allowed on this day, and this is not allowed. Is that coming from somewhere?
We have narrations, but these narrations are not very strong. So it's not really important to take heed of weak narrations, especially when it brings impermissibility in such things or karaha. It's better not to be very much fussy about them.
Thank you, Azra.
Assalamu alaikum. Carrying on from Sarfraz's point, we have a concept that God does not put an obligation which we cannot handle. Taklif ma la yutaq. Surely, as far as Salatul Layl is concerned, it was never wajib in the first place.
Yes.
So even lowering there is okay. Something which was mustahab was made easier, which is fine. But when you talk about for fasting and relations at night and so on and so forth, this is something which was haram. Why was it made haram in the first place when Allah knows that we will not be able to handle it?
As I said, to show the importance of these nights. to show the importance of spirituality in this occasion of Ramadan, and then telling us, okay, it's not layota. It's quite possible for us to do it, you know. But it's difficult, you know. Ma la yutaq means that you cannot do it at all. But this is not ma la yutaq. This is possible that we do not have relation during the whole Ramadan, but it's very difficult. So in the first place, Allah wanted to tell us that how important it is to focus on spirituality on this month, but because it's difficult, now I have reduced it to this point.
Thank you. Any sisters? Yeah? You have a question? So, Sheikh, just to understand it more clearly, what we have been discussing is that there were changes in the Sharia. Does it mean that there were changes in the Sharia when the Sharia started coming, and then Allah was more strict in the beginning and then became more, little bit lenient?
Yes, yes. This is one instance of it.
Fine. Okay. Then it means that nowadays, although there is, we cannot say there is a change in the Sharia, but due to the interpretation of our mujtahid, they have different rulings, and it's not the change in the Sharia, but due to the interpretation, they have different ruling. Is that right?
Well, that's not a change of Sharia. That is understanding.
That's
Sharia
what I'm trying to say. Yes. Yeah. It's not a change
of
Sharia.
Understanding Sharia differently, yes.
Yeah, sure, okay. Sorry, any brothers now? Yeah.
So I'm Sheikh from Sarfraz's infraction. We can't discuss my Ramadan and not talk about the long fasts. So allow me just a second. If the Prophet was here now and we had 18-hour fasts,
18 hours is nothing. I don't know why you think 18 hours is very long.
Well, it is. Let's face it. We're used to maybe 14 hours. You know.
Yeah, okay.
So when it comes to like 9 o'clock, 9:45, I have broken my fast on a bus coming back from late night classes. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult. I was young. I was able to do it. I had the chutzpah. But now I wonder.
You had what, sorry?
The chutzpah. In English, it means you have the chutzpah. it's a Jewish word. So you wouldn't know about it. So I had the spirit.
Clout and power, yeah.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah. So I was young enough and foolhardy enough to say nothing's going to happen to me. But at this age now, if I'm asked to do that, it'll be difficult. Now, so isn't it possible that maybe the Prophet is here with us now and the things change because the nights are very long when it comes to my Ramadan? So is it possible that those who are, I'm not saying who are weak in faith, those who are weak in physical power might get together and go to the Prophet and say, hang on a second, 18 hours is a little bit too much, you know, so, and we have digressed. And we would like you to pardon us.
Well, the Quran is very clear. وَأَلَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ We discussed this. Those who cannot do it except by exerting very big energy, they don't need to fast. They just pay fidya. You know, why we want to change the ruling of the fast? The ruling is very clear. If you cannot do it, don't do it. Just pay fidya. Yeah. Why do you want to reduce the hours?
It's so important for me to hear that from you. Thank you so much. Okay. That's what I need.
Any sisters?
It's not from me. It's from the Quran. Isn't it?
Thank you.
Fidya is to feed one poor person. That was the fidya that which is mentioned. Fidyatun ta'amu miskin. Yes, yes. Just one person for one day.
Any sisters? Any brothers? Please take the mic. Any brothers? Any sister?
No, after. After, yeah. Well, you have to pay it as soon as possible. It's not, no time constraint. There's no time constraint.
We should
okay.
But you have to.
The fidya.
You have to.
Well, you should pay it quite immediately after Ramadan. Yeah. That's the qaza salat that you should do it before the.
You have to do a qaza as well in addition to fidya.
No, you don't need to do it. It's just if you cannot do it in Ramadan, You don't need to do it. That is for illness, that if someone is ill in Ramadan or travels in Ramadan, then they have to do qaza. But if they do it because of not being able, then they don't need to do qaza.
Thank you. Okay, any other, please? Let's be systematic, please. Any brothers, sisters? No, thank you, Muhammad Wali, Muhammad Sarwar. And we continue next week, inshallah.